crabs and bugs, yes, you can move those products outside the area, as far as I understand. But whether or not markets interstate accept those products is another thing, because each state and territory will legislate for what it will accept, particularly out of an area that's been declared as a white zone. So the example I'll use there is WA, where they've got some quite strict importation of product out of Queensland, not just in that zone, but along the whole coast, because of their want to protect their crustacean markets, which industry understands. But that's the game that we're playing now. So our industry doesn't have control of what other states will do in terms of their legislation to stop the potential spread of this thing. So the pain continues for the wildcat sector, because the ban that's there in place needs to be there, I think, a minimum of 24 months before it could be declared white spot free. So, uncertain times ahead.
There's now a deed of arrangement in place between the federal and state government and industry in that biosecurity response to the white spot outbreak. Why weren't you, as the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, on behalf of commercial and wild caught fishers, a party to that agreement?
The farmers signed up to that deed as land-based farming concern, so they've got their basin, they've got their tenure, whereas with the wildcat sector, we're still at a national level having discussions about what does a emergency aquatic disease response plan look like, or what that will mean for us. And so it's still a bit early in the piece for us to commit to any kind of agreement, because one, it's a nationally significant agreement, and there are wild captured fisheries across the country that are still to conduct this debate. Two, from a QSIA point of view, for us to even entertain that kind of agreement, we'd have to go out to all commercial crustacean fishers to see if they would be willing to enter into that kind of agreement. And three, we'd be extremely hesitant to set a precedent that would bind other wild capture fisheries across the country without the necessary debates that need to happen. So we can't jump the gun. And more importantly, we don't own the resource that we fish. So for the benefit of your listeners, commercial fishers pay their license fees to access the fishery to get the local seafood that everyone enjoys year-round. And part of that is we don't own the sea country that we fish. So unlike the farming sector, the aquaculture sector here as an example, they have tenure over their land, and they have very fixed areas where they're growing their prawns. We don't have that luxury. So for the government to push or to insist that we should look at that kind of a deed agreement is initially for us a no-go, because there's nothing in this for us. We don't own the resource that's been damaged. And this disease is not a local disease. It was an overseas disease that's found its pathway to our waters. So I'd be turning that question around and saying, what failure at the border allowed this to happen? And we're still not clear on what that is.
And that, of course, is something that the public hearing of the Senate committee in Yatala is designed to do today. Is there a sense of extra urgency because there is an end to the temporary ban on imported uncooked prawns and prawn products now in sight, only a week or so away?
Yes, that's a very good question. And so as an advocate for my industry, I'd be asking the question, well, if they're going to lift the ban and imports are coming in, and for those importers that have done the right thing, the following statement won't apply to them. But for those that they found that did the wrong thing in this new great environment about better controls at the border, so we've been told that things have been tightened up, what percentage safer are we than we were 7 months ago with imports coming in? Is it 1%, 0.5%, 20%? And I ask that question not to be flippant, but we have a import risk assessment that is now over 7 years old that hasn't been reviewed, and this was the risk assessment that's caused the problems that we're facing now. So in a system where government's insisting at the federal level, because they're the border cop, we're allowing new imports to come in, and as far as we know, you're using the old import risk assessment to allow that stuff in. How much safer is industry? So you can forgive industry for being a little bit sceptical about that.
And if you are sceptical, how do you feel about participating in a Senate committee inquiry process, which essentially will have no bearing on that decision that you've just referred to allow imported uncooked product back onto supermarket shelves in Australia?
Another great question. I'll answer that in two parts, I guess. The first one is you would have thought that we would have the backing of our federal government to find a way, if it was possible, to extend the ban until the deliberations of the Senate committee were over or their final report was put out. Secondly, there's the Inspector General of Biosecurity still haven't issued their report yet. And so we're still in an investigation mode as to how this happened and how we can do better into the future. And that debate still hasn't been had fully fleshed out yet. Yet in under 2 weeks, we're going to have the reimportation of products. So, yeah, I think that's a concern. But the other thing, it's valuable to get industry's voice on the record and the impacts on us, because, again, we've gone asking for assistance and help from all levels of government, and by that I mean state and federal, obviously not local, to these businesses that have been impacted in the Moreton Bay area, and still no financial assistance has been coming.
Eric Perez from the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, good luck with your submission to the Senate inquiry today, and we'll keep in touch as this issue continues to unfold.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.